Today's scripture reading is from John chapter 20, verses 11 through 18. Mary stood outside near the tomb crying. As she cried, she bent down to look into the tomb. She saw two angels dressed in white seated where the body of Jesus had been, one at the head and one at the foot. The angels asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" She replied, "They have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they've put him." As soon as she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who are you looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she replied, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in the Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Don't hold on to me, for I haven't yet gone up to my Father. Go to my brothers and sisters and tell them, I'm going up to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene left and announced to the disciples, "I've seen the Lord." Then she told them what he had said to her.
When Marcia asked me to preach, I got all excited because I like to do that every once in a while. But then she said there was going to be a list of characters that she was going to give us, and she read over them, and I thought, oh no, I hope I don't get Mary Magdalene. Well, guess who I got? So here I am. Who submitted this name anyway? Ron! We'll talk after church. So what about Mary? I was surprised to find that what I thought I knew about Mary was really not what was found in Scripture. Some of what I knew was from listening to really bad sermons that were unsupported by good exegetical work. Some of it comes from the writings of Dan Brown, who conjures up a story about Mary and Jesus having a secret marital relationship, and some of it has to do with people just always saying she was a prostitute. Much to my surprise, as I studied her for this sermon, I discovered that she was pretty amazing in her own way. And in the scripture I studied, I could find little pieces of hope that I could hang on to. So what about her? She is mentioned throughout the Gospels and Acts 14 times total. In 8 of the 14 times, Mary is mentioned in a line of women who are following Jesus and his ragtag community. In each case, her name is mentioned first in the series of names, indicating that she held a place of honor. 5 times she's mentioned in connection to the death and resurrection of Jesus. And only when she stands at the cross with Jesus' mother does her name go second in the list. She's also mentioned once again in Acts, this time again with a group of women. Mary Magdalene was from a town called Magdala, known as a wealthy community that made dyes for fabrics. The town was located about 3 miles from Galilee. It was known for being a risque town with lots of ladies of the night available. While this is true of the town, preachers and historians have incorrectly attributed the name of prostitute in conjunction with Mary. Nowhere in our scripture do we find any indication of her being more than a troubled soul entombed by her own afflictions, who meets radical love called Jesus and becomes part of his community. We don't know anything of her family or her marital status, although her name Mary Magdalene indicates she held her own and had her own means. She was not Mary, the wife of, or the daughter of. She was Mary from Magdala, which means she had enough wealth and status to be able to leave everything and travel around with the other women, cooking and serving Jesus and the disciples, listening to teaching, watching healing. Remember, women had no status other than that was brought to her by the man she was attached to. So this was very unique in itself. The first mention of Mary tells us she was afflicted by seven evil spirits. Not one, not two, not three, but a whole lot. People have probably said that about me from time to time. And maybe they said that about you too, I don't know. Scripture used evil spirits or demons to indicate something that caused a person to act differently. Perhaps she had epilepsy and had seizures. Perhaps she was like many of us in this room and was filled with grief and hopelessness. Perhaps like us, she suffered from anxiety and depression. Or maybe she was at the crossroads in her life and she didn't know where she was going to turn. Maybe she may have suffered abuse in her life at some time. Or maybe she was just rejected because she was a radical kind of soul. We don't have any way of knowing what kind of demons kept Mary entombed. But each of us in this room has something that holds us back, entombs us from being our best self. I do. Don't you? With Mary, it is apparent that when she encountered the wonder of a teacher named Jesus, she was changed. Changed so much, she began to follow them around. She was witness to the good, the bad, and the ugly moments of the journey with Jesus. She saw him heal those people and touch and knock down boundaries for the marginalized. She witnessed him being whipped and saw him being spit upon and saw him suffering in agony as he was punished for being a radical changer in the world. She stood with Mary, his mother. And I'm sure amongst her own agony, I can almost see her reaching out and putting her hand around Mary, Jesus' mother, standing in solidarity in the middle of her own pain. Truth is, church, don't we all need somebody in our lives like Mary? Amen. Somebody who laughs with us, journeys with us, prays with us, cries with us, feeds us. Somebody who's not afraid to stand in the midst of our own entombment and who's even willing to stand at that bedside as we take our last breath. The kind of friend that is with us in the good, the bad, the ugly. Everybody needs a friend like Mary. That's for sure. And Jesus had her full devotion. We pick up today's scripture after the death of Jesus. In the darkness of dawn, Mary journeyed to the tomb, and the stone was rolled away. In her fear and surprise, she ran to get some of the boys from that ragtag group that followed around with Jesus, and they followed her back. When they got back, they looked in the tomb, and there was nothing on the rock where his body had been laid but linens. And that cloth that had been wrapped around his head was rolled up in a neat little ball. They didn't understand what they were seeing, and they all left and went home. Everybody that is but faithful Mary, mourning the loss of that which meant so much to her. Mary stood outside the tomb, and I could just about visualize it. In the midst of that dawn morning, as the sun started coming up over the horizon, tears streaming down her eyes, down her cheeks, blurred vision. She decides to peer in the darkness of the tomb one more time. And suddenly she saw him. Two angels sitting where Jesus had been placed the day he died. The angel said, "Woman, why do you weep?" And Mary said, "Someone has taken my Lord, and I have no idea where he's buried." I imagine her tears continued, and then she turned toward the rising sun, and there stood a man. "Woman, why are you weeping? What are you looking for?" Mary mistook the risen Christ for a stranger. And I'm going to be honest with you all right now. I'm not quite sure what Mary saw, whether vision or risen encounter or fully alive Christ. My human brain can't figure all that out, and I'm going to leave that to all the other preachers we have in the house to tackle. But Mary did not recognize who she saw until that moment when Jesus called her by name, Mary, and she turned to face him. For in the way he said her name, in that intimate way he called to her, the way he always called to her, she recognized him. And she turned to face him. Oh, Rabboni, don't touch me, but go and tell. Go tell them that you have seen me. And Mary leaves the tomb of darkness and told the story. The story of her teacher and friend told the Easter tale of the cosmic Christ, who cannot be contained behind a rock or in darkness or by human power. Her story, if we not heard it, we might not have heard about that first Easter Sunday morning. So what about Mary? What about her? Familiar? Known? She was called by name. If we listen, don't we too hear the whisper in the dark places of our lives saying, I'm calling you. Hey. Hey, Pam. Hey, Joe. Hey, Mike. Hey, Sue. I'm calling your name. Come on, let go of all that that holds you back. And then go tell about it. I relate to Mary quite a bit. I, too, have had times in my life when I've been entombed by depression and anxiety. It's in my genes, I'll say. Where I've been isolated within myself. I, too, have been entombed with my own struggle to overcome abuse in my own life. I've been entombed by rejection from the church, and I've been afraid to open up and let people love me. But over time, I have heard a whisper. Sometimes it was an internal whisper, and sometimes it has come from friends or family or preachers. Sometimes it even came from one of you. One of you who embodied Christ's love. Called by name. Called from the other side of chasms I think I can't cross. Called from the entombment of my own demons. Called by Christ into the light to tell the story of Easter hope. That's a pretty good story, isn't it? Several weeks ago, I was listening to a sermon, that's what us geeks do, done by Yvonne Delk, who was the first African-American woman to be ordained as a United Church of Christ minister. That was back in 1974. Now, some people, they can preach. And some people preach. Yvonne preaches. And she told a story that just touched me. And I'm going to tell it to you. I bet I rewound that sermon 20 times listening to it because it touched me in the core of my bones. Made me think of the wonder of resurrection and community. And gave me a glimmer of what God's love looks like in our modern, postmodern world. Made me think about what happens when we hear our name. The story goes something like this. There was a tribe of people, probably people like us, who are trying to move from one side of a chasm to the other. It's a great divide. And they can't seem to find a way to cross. So this tribe of people stand at the edge of this big old chasm and they line up and they talk and they talk. And somehow, some way, one of them gets to the other side of that big old chasm they thought they couldn't cross. But once that person got there, guess what happened? They reached their hand back across the divide and said, come on. I'm going to help you get over. Now, then somebody else said, now listen, this is how we're going to do it. Okay? you reach back and you turn back and you take somebody with you. You reach back and you turn back and you take somebody with you. And suddenly there is a whole human chain reaching and reaching and pulling back and pulling forward. And suddenly they're all leaping over that chasm to the other side. At the end of the line is a mother who's holding a toddler. And the chain is moving, reaching forward, reaching back, reaching forward, reaching back. And the mama puts the little girl down in order to get a firmer grip on her. In the process of putting her down, all that momentum of reaching back and going forward and reaching back and going forward snatched up the mother and propelled her to the other side. Now you got one generation on one side of the chasm, and you got the other generation on the other. Somebody's left behind. That toddler is wandering dangerously to the edge. She can't hear her mama. She can't even hardly see the rest of them. She's confused. She's afraid. Oh, that chasm is still there. And she's wandering closer and closer to the edge of the drop-off. And suddenly, somebody or something calls her by name, gets her attention. And this says to her, "You have a story to tell." Tells her a story. The story reminds her that she comes from a great people. The story reminds her that God is with her. The story reminds her that her condition is not her conclusion. Amen. I'm going to say that one again. The story reminds her that her condition is not her conclusion. And the child backs up, positions herself, hears her name called, feels the Spirit, and leaps over the chasm into the arms of the waiting community. I remember walking into Bluegrass the first time. I was entombed by my own hopelessness. I'd been rejected by the church I thought I was going to preach at. I'd just about given up on life, and I'm not kidding. I was pretty close to leaping off the edge of that chasm. But someone, something, called my name. Said, "Hey, come and see." And I stepped my shaking toe across a tiny section of chasm. That chasm that existed between you and me. And I stood. And in our community time together, I've heard Christ call my name over and over and over again. As you have reached back and pulled me forward. And I've been able to walk on days when I couldn't believe it was possible. Because I yelled across the chasm to you and said, "Please hold me in prayer." And you whispered my name into the universe. Called my name in a God whisper. And on that day when I thought I couldn't get up, I was held up. Held up by all of you. You have allowed your voices to be vehicles of hope, beckoning me to believe. To believe that love can be real. And folks can be authentic. And that there really is a radical love that Christ speaks and gives to us over and over and over again. Your condition is not your conclusion. And little by little, I backed up. Backed up and I listened for my name. Now I'm pretty sure God had to scream it loud probably about 1,000 times. Because I pretended not to hear. I wasn't quite as quick as Mary. But one day, from the entombment of my hurt and rejection, in the middle of a song that had 6 verses, you know, Marsha likes to sing all the verses. On that last verse, I could stand it no longer, and I heard it. I heard my name called in the manner that Mary's name was called by Jesus. Soft, and intimately in a way I'd heard many times before. Pam, Pam, come on. Your condition is not your conclusion. And all of you, reach back for me. So I stepped out from behind, can't say a lip. I stepped out from behind that back pew and came forward. And every one of you have caught me over and over and over again. You've loved me and you helped me. You resurrected me from the places of fear and hopelessness and isolation. Resurrected me into a community of love. Mary had Jesus and the disciples. I have you. And because of it, there's a story to tell. And I'm here to proclaim it over and over again. A story of love that cannot be contained in a little box or a tomb or by anybody in humankind. The story of God's love that changes the world and resurrects you and me and you and you and you over and over again. Listen, friends, I'm here to remind you, your condition is not your conclusion. Listen, can you hear it? That faint whisper? Look, we're reaching back for you. We're trying to move you forward. We're trying to pull you to resurrection. Listen. Somebody is calling your name, just like Jesus did for Mary. What you gonna do? You're at the edge of the chasm. Come on. Jump. I double dog dare you. I promise you, you'll never ever be the same.
Will you come and follow me if I but call your name? Will you go where you don't know and never be the same? Will you let my love be shown? Will you let my name be known? Will you let my life be grown in you and you in me? Will you love the you hide if I but call your name? Will you quell the fear inside and never be the same? Will you use the faith you found to reshape the world around? Through my sight and touch and sound in you and you in me. Lord, your summons echoes true when you would call my name. Let me turn and follow you and never be the same. In your company I'll go where your love and footsteps show. Thus I'll move and live and grow in you and you